Healing is a part, is part of the salvation package. John G. Lake said, healing is simply the salvation of Jesus Christ having its divine action in a man's body, the same as it had its divine action in a man's soul. Definition of salvation: deliverance, preservation, soundness, prosperity, happiness, rescue, general well-being. So you can see it's more than just going to heaven. And that's wonderful, but there's a lot involved in salvation. If you look up that word in the Greek, it's wholeness. Every area and every part of your life. And that's what the word salvation means. And so that's what happens when you get saved. And healing is a part of the salvation package. Healing follows the salvation model. Gordon Lindsay said, the key to understanding the whole subject of divine healing lies in the recognition of the almost exact parallel between the appropriation of faith for healing and the faith for salvation. Anybody here saved tonight? Then you're a candidate for to have the faith and to know the process to receive healing in your life. That's good news tonight. Because sometimes we think, well, it's going to be so complicated and so difficult. But if you've got saved, it's much more difficult to get saved than it is to get healed. But be through religion and experience, I think people have not looked at things that way. But that's the truth. Healing is easier than salvation. The same process by which you were saved will work to heal you. Ephesians 2:8 says, for by grace you have been saved through faith. And it's not of yourself. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Amplified says, it's not through your own doing. It's not through your own striving. And I think this is a good point here. If I were to walk up and I want to give this Bible to you. You need a new Bible, don't you? I want to give this Bible to you. What do? You receive it. Do you have to go out and jog 4 miles? You have to do 100 push-ups? Swim 20 laps in order to receive this? No, it's just an act of reaching out and receiving it. And that's what we need to understand is concerning healing. It's a matter of receiving, being in a place to receive. And you cannot earn it through, I've got to confess the word 765 times and read 100, listen to 100 hours of healing script. No, it's just being in the place, whatever you have to do to be in the place to simply receive what God has appropriated for you. Both salvation and healing are gifts from God and must be received by faith. Let's look in Romans 10. Romans 10 and 9 and 10 are verses that we use to witness to someone and hopefully get them saved. But let's look in Romans 10 in verse 1. Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. That's God's desire. But you have to look at the definition that we just read. It's God's desire for you to be delivered from alcohol, from drugs, from pornography, from any bad habit. That's God's desire. It's God's desire for you to be sound, for you to be healed. I mean, every part of your body, your skin, your eyes, your organs, your toenails. I mean, whatever, every part of your body, God wants you to be whole. That's His desire. For you to be prosperous, for you to have happiness, for you to have just wholeness. That's God's desire. You need to know that tonight. What does it say in 3 John 2? Beloved, I pray above all things. One translation, King James, I think it says, I wish above all things that thou may prosper and be in health. Prosperity and health are two of the most important things you need to do what God has called you to do. And so we need to have a real thorough understanding of prosperity and health. And it's two of the reasons, the weaknesses in these two areas, is why the church hasn't been strong. We've been so busy dealing with sickness, so busy with our finances that we haven't been able to focus on the plan of God. But this is God's desire. Look in at verse 9. And this is the faith qualifications here. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And that's the faith formula. That's the faith process. We believed in our hearts. We believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then we solidified it with our confession. we confessed Jesus as our Lord. It's as simple as that. Faith for healing is as simple as believing and speaking. And I know this is, we want to make it complicated, but this is what we did for salvation. Did anybody receive salvation a different way? Raise your hand. This is the method. This is the process of faith. And it will work for every area of your life if you have an understanding of it. Now, again, the important thing is to do, and we'll get into that, but to believe it and to speak it. That's the process of faith. Faith for healing comes from God's Word. Faith for your healing begins by knowing that it is God's will to heal you. And the only place that you can get that from is God's Word. Knowing God's Word. Knowing the Scriptures. And not just in one place or two places, but I recommend 3, 4, 5, 10 places to know, to be convinced that that's God's will for you. And it is God's will for you right now, today. Not some point in the future, but that's God's will and God's plan for you right now. Romans 10:17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Now, when you were saved, again, you were given the measure of faith. Each one of us here, when you were saved, and you already told me you're saved, you were given a measure of faith. But faith must be developed, just like muscles need to be developed. If you just lay there, if you're born and you just lay there the rest of your life, your muscles will not develop. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by God's Word. And so that measure of faith that you've been given must be developed by constantly, every day, hearing God's Word, putting it in your ears, in your eyes, and speaking it out. And that will develop the faith that is in you that you'll need to live. The Bible says the just live by faith. We live by it daily. So this is important. And so if you want to walk in health and healing, you're going to have to hear God's Word, God's will, constantly concerning healing. And so if John, again, the disciple whom Jesus loved, one of the top three disciples, he said that it was very important. Beloved, I pray above all things, talking about health and prosperity. It's important then for us to understand healing and to be keep feeding on a daily basis God's Word concerning health and healing. Great testimonies of healing will encourage your faith, but they do not take the place of the Scripture. Do not base your believing on what has or has not happened to others. You've heard of someone flush their medicine down the toilet. You've heard of someone breaking their crutch or throwing out, their wheelchair out the window or something like that, or taking their glasses and just smashing them. And you've heard someone else do that, so you're going to go out and do the same thing, and you want to have the same results. That's not how it works. Because the people that have gotten results by doing that had a word from God, and they were in a position of faith, and they believed, and then they acted based on God's Word. So you don't do these things based on, it'll inspire you. Testimonies inspire you. It'll encourage you. Maybe you're discouraged in whatever area, and a testimony will inspire you, but it should inspire you to the Word, to go to the Word. And so if you, instead of basing your faith on their testimony of them throwing out their medicine, do what they did to come to that place where you can throw out your medicine. But don't do it until you have that same conviction. Faith is a conviction. It's a knowing. It's a confidence. And so when it comes time, you think, well, I'm going to throw. If you don't have a confidence, you have to ask me what to do. I'm going to tell you not to do it because you don't have a confidence in that. You heard about some of the ministers, and they're going down the line, and they pull the glasses off the guy, and they throw them on the floor, and they stomp on them. Well, you're going to have to end up buying some glasses for people. That's not necessarily going to bring healing by just tearing someone's glasses off. Now, if the Holy Ghost, and you better have the unction, you better know the voice of the Holy Spirit. If the Holy Ghost tells you to do that, and you check out, then go ahead and do it. But a lot of times it's not the Holy Ghost. It's what we've seen someone else do. And we're going to copy that and try to get the same results. All right. Study God's Word concerning healing for yourself. Or maybe you want to go and just spit on people. Don't spit unless you got a word from God. Especially if it's a big guy, an ex-Marine or something. Just wait. Hold that till another service. Study God's work concerning healing for yourself. You go and do what they did to get in faith, and then you will see results. God has made some great promises to us concerning healing and long life. And I know many of you have heard these, but I just want to take some time and go through these and that you can read them for yourself and maybe go ahead and mark it in your Bible. Maybe you don't know these. Let's turn to Psalm 91. Psalm 91, one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. One of about 1,000. But I can't tell you how many times I've read Psalm 91, how many times I've confessed these scriptures over and over and over. Whether I'm going through something or not, I'll go to Psalm 91. It's just one of those chapters that just is it's wonderful. Psalm 91, verse 9, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place, no evil. Everybody say, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. Plague is sickness, disease. Your dwelling is your house. Hallelujah. Nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And let's look at verse 14, talking about long life. Who here is going to live a long life? Long, satisfied life. Is that you? Is that your describing you? You have God's word on this. I want you to live a long life. I want you to be like E.W. Kenyon. When it was time for him to go, I believe he was 84, and he had finished his job. He just sat down in a rocking chair at home and said, I'm going. And off he went. Hallelujah. That's the way to do it. Amen. And he's nobody special. He's just a believer. Someone that knows God's word. That's God's plan for all of us. Because he has set his love upon me, verse 14, therefore I will deliver him. Hallelujah. I will set him on high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me and I will answer him. Call upon the Lord. Cry out to him. Call upon him and he will answer us. I will be with him in trouble. Anybody going through any trouble tonight? God is with you. He's there with you wanting to help, wanting to intervene. If you allow him, if you'll let him, he'll intervene. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him. Not only will he deliver you, but he'll honor you. Glory to God. With long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. That's your scripture. Long life. And not just living a long life in a nursing home somewhere for 15, 20 years. A satisfied life. Glory to God. That's the plan. That's the will of God. But you got to hook up with your faith. I mean, all these promises are in here, but it has to be believed. Remember salvation? What you did to be saved? It has to be believed and confessed. Faith has to be developed in this area. You have to believe for these things on purpose. Say, I'm going to have my faith for a long life. Amen? Teach this to your kids. Psalm 103, God's benefit plan. Hallelujah. Psalm 103, I've read this over and over and over and over, and I love it every time I read it. I'm not bored with this. Glory to God, especially when we're in a crisis. I'm telling you, just start reading these words here, and immediately comfort comes, faith comes, the power of God comes. Listen now. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's benefits for serving God. There's benefits for being a Christian. Hallelujah. Who forgives all your iniquities, every sin, everything, from what you think is the worst to the least. He forgives all your iniquities. He forgives and forgets. Who heals all your diseases. Hallelujah. All. Everybody say all. Talking to you now. The bad back, the sore toe, the swollen ear, the blurry vision in your eyes. Whatever, all. Glory to God. Heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Go to Psalm 107. You can shout in School for Life class. Go ahead. Jump on the chairs for all I care. They're your chairs. You paid for them. We get excited around here. We're just reading scriptures. Glory. Psalm 107. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Hallelujah. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send a pillar of fire. He didn't send smoke. What did he send? His word and healed them. Glory to God. Send the word of God. Jeremiah 30 says, for I will restore health to you and heal you of your wounds. Malachi 4, verse 2 says, the Son of Righteousness shall rise with healing in his wings. Let's look over in 1 Peter 2:24. Remember Isaiah? And Isaiah 53? The Lord showed him what would happen in the future. So he saw the cross, he saw Calvary, saw what would happen. Remember Matthew chapter 8 had the confirmation, the manifestation of Isaiah 53. Now this is Peter looking back to the cross. 1 Peter 2:24, who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, on the cross, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were. Is that a typo there? No, were. That's past tense. You were healed 2,000 years ago. Just like, you know, the salvation was available from the very beginning. But we receive it. Hallelujah. Receive what Jesus did. Receive what he did on the cross. Glory to God. Continue hearing and meditating on God's healing promises until you are fully persuaded that healing belongs to you. This may take some time. I mean, all of us have different areas where it may have been easier to be persuaded in. For some here, it may be finances. For some, it may be health and healing. For others, it may be peace. You don't worry, or prayer, or whatever area you may be stronger in. I don't know all the reasons why that. It may be the way you were brought up, or who you sat under, or what tapes you listened to. So you may be developed in certain areas. But we can be fully persuaded, and it may take some time in say health and healing for you, but you can be fully persuaded in all areas. You can be convinced, fully persuaded, that it's God's will for you to be healed right now. Glory to God. Meditation on God's word will cause you to flourish in whatever area his word addresses. Joshua 1:8, let me just read it to you. The book of the law, talking about the word of God, shall not depart from your mouth, meaning it will be constantly in your mouth. Shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe, so you see, to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you'll have good success. Meditation is to revolve in the mind, is to think on something over and over until understanding comes. You're hearing it, you're thinking on it. It's probably a better way of saying it. The Bible word is meditation, but you're thinking on it. And what you're doing there is you're meditating until you see it, till you have an image on the inside of you. And when that image on the when you've got that picture, we think in pictures. When you have that picture of health and healing on the inside of you, it will not be a very long time before you have the manifestation. You have to be able to see it first before you can walk in it. And you see it on the inside. Your spirit man sees it. And when you see it, then you'll walk in it. Then you'll have it. So meditate. Who's got a spirit-filled life Bible? Look in Psalm chapter 1. Let me see that. No, I want to read the little word wealth. You know what a word wealth is? It has the different words in the Hebrew and the Greek, and then in various chapters. You can look up with the word, and it has the Strong's definition. But here's what it says for meditate: to reflect, to moan, to mutter, to ponder, to make a quiet sound such as sighing, to meditate or contemplate something as one repeats the words. Isn't that something? Is that what you think meditation is? In Hebrew thought, to meditate upon the scriptures is to quietly repeat them in a soft, droning sound while utterly abandoning outside distractions. This is reciting text, praying intense prayers, or getting lost in communion with God while bowing or rocking back and forth. Talking about meditation. So you're taking God's word. And I think this is where a lot of people miss it. Is they may be hearing the word, but you've got to take it a step further and think on it. Ponder on it. Roll it around in your mind. Say it and speak it. Mutter it. And that will help create the picture for you of God's plan, God's will. Abraham was fully convinced that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Fully persuaded. Now, if you think it's going to be rain, what do? When you're about to go outside, bring your umbrella. And you may just base that a hunch. But see, your conviction that it's going to rain causes you to act and bring out that umbrella. That's the same thing here. Your faith, your conviction will cause you to act in a certain way. And so Abraham, though in the natural, had no sign, no hope of having a child, but he had a word from God. One word from God. I just read how many verses? 7 or 8. More than one word. But God spoke to him and said he was going to have a child. Hallelujah. And he believed. He was fully convinced that what God said is true. So you're going to have to be fully persuaded. Again, that may take some time, may take some effort, but it can happen and it will happen if you stick with it. Stick with it until you got it. Don't quit. Don't give up. Stay with it. God's word is the truth. God's word is reality. And you'll do things differently. You'll do things differently if you have a conviction on it. And we'll talk more about that in a moment. All right, let's talk about releasing faith and receiving healing. Just as we released our faith, we just mentioned this, for salvation by confession, we release our faith for healing by confessing Jesus as our healer. In James chapter 3, it talks about directing a ship and steering a ship. What does it say is the rudder? Your tongue. So directing the ship of your life, directing your life for healing, health and healing, has everything to do with your tongue. Your tongue will help you stay on the healing track, the healing path, on the healing course. What you say has everything to do. What are you saying about your body? What are you saying concerning your life? Are you saying you're going to live a long life? Are you saying you're going to live a long, satisfied life? What's coming up? When sickness or disease comes to you, what's the first thing you do? Call the doctor? Go on the internet and look up all the different definitions of what you've got? And I'm not saying not to do that. I mean, I believe in doctors. Doctors are God's ministers. I believe, most of them. But confession and speaking and saying, what are you saying about yourself on a daily basis? Are you talking about your bad back? Are you talking about the crick in your neck? Talking about whatever it is. And you may need the help of your spouse to correct some of these things. Now, I know we all love it when, I have my children correct me. You don't know what it's like to be me. It's tough being me. I've got little Grayson corrects me on my confession. Now, that's good if I'll be open and receive it. But you want people to correct you, don't you? Everybody say that. I love correction. I crave correction. Right before there in James, it talks, if you do not stumble in your word, the Bible says you're a perfect man. And that word perfect means complete or mature. Your confession has everything to do with what kind of a Christian that you are. What you say. And not just one time or when you heard an inspiring message. I'm talking about consistently. What are you saying? That determines the quality and the level of life that you live. That will determine the health that you'll walk in. Jesus taught his disciples to move mountains in their lives by speaking to them and commanding them to be cast into the sea. That's Mark 11:23. Sickness is one of the biggest mountains that will occur, will encounter in our lives. And you remember what Jesus did? What did he do to the fig tree? Did he take an axe and chop it down? Did he wrestle with it? Did he run around it 7 times? What did he do? He spoke to it. And he didn't even see anything happen at first. He probably was kind of embarrassing. I mean, it could be for us. I mean, if we speak to something and people are around and nothing happens, what will they think? He spoke to a tree. He spoke to a fig tree and he cursed it. And in the natural, nothing happened. But those words were filled with faith. They were filled with power. And they went in and began to work on that tree. They started at the roots and worked their way up. And then they came back the next day. And what happened to the tree? It was dead. Now, don't they talk about certain illnesses like cancer? They have like little tentacles, like roots. And our body is a natural thing, just like a tree is a natural thing. Why wouldn't faith-filled words work on those, just like it would that tree? It's the same thing. It's a natural thing. Words based on God's word. Words alive and full of faith. What does it say about the word of God in Hebrews 4? It's alive and full of power. Hallelujah. It's alive. When you speak God's word, there's something in there. It's an anointing. It's power. And it's working when it's spoke. And so the same thing for you. When you speak God's word, it's like Jesus himself speaking the word. We have the authority to tell sickness to leave our bodies. You have that right. You have that authority to do that. You've been given that right and that authority by God to do that. Jesus gave us his name to use against the devil to demand that sickness leave us. In Acts 3:16, I'm just going to read it. And his name through faith in his name. There's that word again, faith. You have to believe in the power of the name. You cannot just use the name. I think we do that sometimes, but to have faith based on the scriptures, faith in that name, when you use it, you know there's power in it. You're calling all of heaven will stand in attention when that name, at that name, and they'll act. And the spirit realm will react and act based on that name when it's spoken out of your mouth in faith. That's the key there. If we resist sickness, when the devil brings it to us, it will go. And I'm telling you, this is a good point. You have to resist it. It is so important when something happens. What is the first thing you do when sickness and disease comes? What you do in those first few moments may determine the outcome. Do you go to the Word or do you go to the doctor? And I'm not discouraging from going to the doctor. I believe in doctor. And go to the doctor. You need to do that. But what is the first reaction that you do? Are you going to call in everybody and tell them all the problems that you have? Are you going to just wring your hands and are you going to start looking on the internet for specialists and all these different things all over the country to try to help you? What is the first thing that you do? Because you have to make a decision early on. You're going to resist. You're going to resist this. You're not going to accept this. Because the enemy is trying to get you to welcome it and accept it. And the longer you pet it, the more difficult it is to drive it out. So it's very vital what you do in the first few moments. So the minute, if you even think the enemy's near, resist him. I'm a strong believer in preventive maintenance. Don't just wait till trouble. Dodie Osteen talks in her book, after she was healed of cancer, one of the first things she does in the morning, she goes to the Word, guarding that area because it was a weakness there. And guarding that area for the rest of her life, she's made a decision to put the healing scriptures in there, confess them with her mouth, and not wait for the next major crisis to happen to go find out what God says about healing. I mean, if it's on your mind, if it's in you, I'm telling you, it will come out during a crisis. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak. But if it's not there in abundance, it's going to have to be put there in abundance. And it's a lot more difficult. It's more difficult to put it in there when you're not feeling good. Your energy level's not, it's not the same. I mean, your body, you know, it's more, I'm not saying you can't do it, but it's more difficult when there's pain to do that, to put the word in abundance. So do it before. And it must be much easier to resist. You can petition the Father for healing in the name of Jesus, John 14. You've heard me say it before. Pray from a platform of faith. Pray when you are ready to pray in faith. I think we miss it here. Something happens, and the first thing we want to do is command this and cast that out and do all. And if you don't have time to go to the Word, I mean, I understand. There's Christ. Different things have happened in my life. I didn't have time to do anything. I had to just, what I had, go with it. But if you have the time, go to the Word. Go back over the healing scriptures and build up that faith. Then pray. The prayer of faith. Pray the prayer of faith. How does faith come again? Hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So if you're going to pray, pray from that platform of faith. What is 1 John? I'll go ahead and read it to you. 1 John 5, is it 5? Verse 14. Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, what's His will? He hears us. If you're praying according to the Word of God, and if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know. I love these words. And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. Oh, that the believer would have that kind of faith to know and not wonder and not play the gospel casino and try to roll the lucky seven and hope God hears us. You can know. Just like if you've overhauled an engine, the first time you do it, it might be difficult. But if you do it over and over and over, there's going to come a point when you're going to know this engine backwards and forwards. You're going to have a confidence. Oh, yeah, you're going to put a new engine in there? No problem. You have a confidence. God wants each of us to have a confidence concerning health and healing. A confidence in our prayer. And you cannot have that confidence without this. We ought to each of us have 8 or 9, 10 scriptures about healing. You ought to have it somewhere near you. You ought to know how to find them. Know where they're at. If you don't have them memorized, the verse, have the reference memorized. It ought to be just in you. Do you have that? You can. You should. Jesus said that He would do whatever we ask in His name. Whenever you ask Him, believe you receive your healing when you pray, not when you feel a change in your body. I think, I know, again, you're dealing with your senses here. We want to be able to feel it, to smell it, to touch it, all our senses. But if you live in that realm, in that zone, so to speak, you will never experience the power of God. Because the power of God comes from the spirit realm into this natural realm. And in order to believe, I mean, when you got saved, did you see heaven open up and see God and Jesus and you saw your mansion there? Anybody? I mean, if you did, praise God. But is that anybody's testimony here? But yet you believe? Are you convinced? Now, if I were to stand you up against the wall and handcuff you and pull out a shotgun and say, tell me whether you really believe this or not. And if you don't tell the truth, then we're going to shoot you. Do you know? Do you know that you know that you're saved? Do you know? Are you totally convinced you're going to heaven? How about in healing now? Are you totally convinced? Do you know that you know that you know? That's where God wants us to be. So it's not feeling. Praise God for feeling. I love it. I mean, I love when I wake up and I feel great. That's when I go in the shower and I sing the loudest. I mean, I am just, I got a, and you may not like this, but I mean, I got a smile on my face. I'm happy. I love that. Every day should be like that. But whether or not I wake up and have those feelings doesn't, I know. Now, I'll be honest, this morning when I woke up, I was not smiling. I got in late last night from Branson. Our flight was delayed 1.5 hours, flying one of those little, teeny little planes. You know, you got people around you all day, squishing you, poking you. So I woke up this morning and I didn't have that, you know, I wasn't singing this morning. And I was kind of tired. I was sleepy. I would rather have slept another hour. But I have this commitment. When I'm preaching, I have my certain routine that I go through. And I always like, and on Sunday morning, I like to get up and pray and see if there's any last-minute changes, any last-minute revelations, you know, from God. But I wasn't just feeling great this morning. You know what I did? I pulled out my faith aid. And I started with the first one. And I'm telling you, nothing happened. I was just like, I'm just going through the motions here. And I started reading them and confessing them. And I went through the first page, and I was feeling a little better. Went through that second page. I could feel myself, my spirit, man, getting stronger. By the end of that fourth, I was alive, I was alert, and I was singing. By confessing God's word. Isn't that something? I believed it, and I spoke, and that faith aid covers every area of your life, who you are in Christ, talks about your body, talks about finances, every area. And I'm telling you, it makes a difference. All right, if you are sick beyond the point of helping yourself, call for the elders of the church to pray for you. Look over in James. James chapter 5, verse 14. Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Now, does it say for the pastor to call you? Does it say for the pastor to check up on you? What does it say? Is anyone among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. If you want someone to come from the Good News Church, you need to call. And we make house calls. Or maybe at church. If you're in a place and you know, God's going to meet you wherever you're at. There's at least 7 different ways to receive your healing. But we saw David Ingalls when we were in Tulsa, and we were talking with him. And he reached in his pocket and he pulled out these handkerchiefs, little squares, and they had Acts 19:12 on there. Is it 19:12? Acts 19 on there? On these little pocket squares? And I was like, what? What's, you know, is this kind of some kind of strange thing? But these are healing cloths, handkerchiefs, that he gives out to people that aren't in the place to receive their own healing, that he's prayed over after he's preached, and he gives it out to people. And I'm telling you, he's had all kind of miracles with people that don't even believe in healing. They'll take that cloth and they start putting it on their body and they get healed. God is in the healing business. So if you need elders dumping oil on you, whatever it takes. I like to use a lot of oil myself, so not just a little dabble, do you? So if I come, just, you know, get ready to take a shower or something. But we're to call for the elders of the church. And you notice it says elders. Does it say pastor? It says the elders. Now, the pastor is included in the elders. It could be someone the pastor sends. Well, I wanted the pastor. Well, I'll tell you, we've got some well-trained people around here. They've been here 5 years. And then not only that, they get the tapes and go over those, been to all School for Life classes. Some people here, I mean, when we first started off the School for Life, we had the same 8 classes. They went through them 3 or 4 times, same classes. They are well trained. And so if they represent the Good News Church, it's as good as Susie and I being there. And they're going to lay hands or anoint with oil, whatever as Lord directs or whatever you need. And the power of God will be there. So don't be upset if it's not Susie and I are the ones that will come or the ones that will. We have some well-trained people around here. Amen? Who was it? Naaman? That didn't like who came to see him? The servant came to tell him what the prophet said. He didn't like it. He almost walked away without his healing. But then he listened and he obeyed. And he ended up being healed. So as they anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith, the Lord will raise you up. And again, there's nothing magical about the oil. The oil is a symbol of the anointing. It's a point of contact. But if the anointing is present, you don't need to use oil. The anointing is present. The tangible anointing is on the minister. Just go with that. Again, there's no magic. It doesn't have to be oil from Israel. I mean, we get so hung up on the oil and all that. But it's just, again, it's a form. It's something, you got a point of contact to release your faith. Receive your healing through the laying on of hands. Jesus said that when believers lay their hands on the sick would recover. Now again, don't just rush up into the healing line. If you have time to hear the word concerning healing and you have time to develop your faith, do that before hands are laid on you. If, for example, in a healing meeting, you may want to wait to the last night if you can. Go to the first three nights, hear the word, develop your faith, and then have hands laid on you the last night. I think if we would do things like that, we would see a lot more results. You've got a part to play in this. Now, thank God for the gifts of the Spirit, from the faith of the and for the healing anointing. But it is, we're going to see much more results if the people that are being ministered to will release their faith also and develop their faith. We're going to see a lot more miracles if we'll do that. So if you're coming on a Sunday morning and you know you want to have hands laid on you, spend some time in the Word. Prepare yourself to have hands laid on you, and you'll see the power of God flow. You must authorize God to release His healing power in your behalf. Your submission to Him authorizes Him to heal you. And I've had this happen. A church member will ask me to go to minister to someone outside the congregation, thinking that it's going to be an easy thing to receive. But many times, if I don't have the time to work with that person, and especially if they don't know about healing, it's going to be difficult to get them healed, especially in one visit. And so understand that. Why is that? Because they don't know me. I'm not their pastor. They may have another pastor. They don't have the same, the authorization is not the same as it would be for you. I remember one time I went into the hospital room of a member of the church, and his daughter had got in an accident and was hurt very badly. And I came in there. I'm telling you, I walked into that room and the anointing just dropped on me. And the man was just like hugging me, and he didn't kiss my feet, but I mean, he was so glad to see me. And the girl, when she saw me, she had a real dejected look on her face. The minute she saw me, her eyes just lit up. What happened? They were open to me to come to minister. And I prayed, and the power of God went into her. And the healing power went into her. And all the negative reports did not come to pass. What happened? They authorized me. And so when you're dealing with people, you have to have that authorization. And so sometimes if you ask a minister or someone from the church to come, we're encouraging more now through the School for Life that you'll be the one to go. But just remember that you have to have an authorization from there, because you cannot override someone's will. Someone's will is more powerful than God is in their life. So they have to will it. They have to open themselves in order to receive. So always keep that in mind. Your words authorize His healing power to flow to you. Find a way to act on what you believe. Smith Wigglesworth said, faith is not faith until it acts on what it believes. Action. Faith is just not believing that one day you'll be healed. It's daring to act on God's healing promises today. You remember the wedding of Cana, John chapter 2? What did Mary say to the servants? Whatever He says, do it. And then they acted on those words, the action. Those pots, that water would not have turned into wine unless those servants acted. They had to act. There's action involved. Read through the different miracles. Feeding of the 5,000 or the 4,000. There had to be something to work with. That boy brought the loaves and the fishes. That was an act of faith. Action. Ask God, see, or talk to people. How can I act on my faith? Maybe it might be just moving your finger. Maybe if it's something's paralyzed, I mean, just do what you can. Shake that arm. Work at it. Focus on it. Do what you can do. Do all that you can do. But don't just sit there and take it. Well, that's just my lot in life. That's what the doctor says. Faith in medical science more than faith in what God says. Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, stretch forth your hand. But I can't. I can't stretch it forth. I've never been able to stretch it forth. I can't do it. It's impossible. Well, if that would have been his attitude, he would have walked away in the same condition. But he believed the word, and he stretched. He acted. Get up out of bed. I'm telling you, I'm like the rest of you. If I'm not feeling good, I want to just lay down. My body says, lay down. Have them wait on you hand and foot. Susie can get me a chicken noodle soup and turn on my favorite TV program and baby me in my bed. Did you say fat chance? But I'm telling you, that's the way. I mean, when you have this attitude, you're not going to pet this thing. And many of us have been raised. Well, that's how we get our attention. That's how we get the special treatment. That's how we get to miss school today. I don't have to give that speech. But get up out of bed. Make that decision. Tell you this, there's been times I can barely get up out of the morning when I'm preaching that Sunday. And I'm telling you, I'm sick. Sick, sick, sick. Maybe when I'm back there ready to throw up, isn't that a pretty sight? Everything is inside of me is saying, don't go out there. Susie can handle it today. Have a Holy Ghost service. I know she could do it, but I've made a decision. I'm preaching today. And many times, that's why I'm going to lay hands on people for healing. And I'm telling you, almost 100% of the time, I walked out of that service healed that day. I think it is 100%. In just an hour and a half, or depending how long the service goes, 2 or 3 hours later, before though, I wasn't feeling good. But it's an attitude. I call it the spirit of faith. It's an attitude about these things. Now let me just say this before we go on. Don't condemn people if they're not at your level. Now we can talk about home. We have an arrangement in our house. We can correct each other. But that doesn't give you the right to go around correct, especially people outside of the church. Or we've got a new guest coming to the church and they make a bad confession and we've got 10 people jumping on them, beating them up. Oh, they're really going to love this, you know, church of love here. Or you go to the hospital and maybe someone, even a member of the church, and they're not living this way. Don't condemn them. Don't make them feel bad because they're sick. How is that going to help them? Love them. Love never fails. I mean, we're not in some kind of competition with each other to see who can do this the best. If you need help, get help. If you need to have someone, if you need to have a hands laid on you, don't let your pride stop you from coming to have hands laid on you. Pride will keep you from receiving. Pride will keep you from receiving. And it'll lead to your downfall. But let's be the church of love and not the church of condemnation. Amen. Now let's close out here with Mark chapter 5. An example of how to receive healing. Mark chapter 5. Verse 25, and there was a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years and who had endured much suffering under the hands of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was no better, but instead grew worse. She had heard the reports concerning Jesus, and she came up from behind him in the throng and touched his garment. For she kept saying, if I only touch his garments, I shall be restored to health. And immediately her flow of blood was dried up at the source, and suddenly she felt in her body that she was healed of her distressing ailment. And Jesus, recognizing in himself that power proceeding from him had gone forth, turned around immediately in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples kept saying to him, "You see the crowd pressing hard around you from all sides, and you ask, 'Who touched me?'" Still he kept looking around to see her who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done for her, though alarmed and frightened and trembling, fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith, your trust and confidence in me, springing from faith in God, has restored you to health. Go into peace and be continually healed and freed from your distressing bodily disease." The woman with the issue of blood heard about the healing power of Jesus. She heard, again, the word. She heard that Jesus was anointed to heal, and she believed in that anointing. She believed in the power of God. She kept saying to herself, her confession, "If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well." She kept saying it over and over and over and over. What is she doing? She's speaking what she believes. her faith is increasing. Her faith is developing. Her words determined her future. She spoke what she expected to happen. That's a good one there. What you expect to happen. That's faith. The woman, against all obstacles, dared to act on what she believed. Even though it was against the law for her to go out in public in the condition that she was in, she came out. She went outside. Isn't that something? Went against what people thought. Went against what even the Jewish laws. She stepped out. The crowd was intimidating, but yet she pressed through. She made an effort to press through. You know, I don't see a lot of people that really press through. I see people that are sick and are dealing with different things, but I don't see them very hungry. I don't see them in a desperate state to have, you know, the power of God to flow. When's the last time you've seen it? You've been at a meeting and a person just ran up to the minister and grabbed the minister and wouldn't let him go until they prayed for him. I think I've seen maybe twice in all the years, 17 years of being saved, where someone, the minister was ministering, laid hands on the person, and the person was being ministered, grabbed that hand and would not let go until they received from the power of God. This woman had that kind of faith. She was willing to do whatever it took to get healed. You don't see that today. And I think the reason being is we live in a society where everything is easy. We want everything fast. We want everything quick. And if we don't get it, then forget it. We'll do something else. But this is not going to operate on your terms and in your way. You're not going to have it your way. You're going to have it God's way. Do it God's way. And stick with it until you have the victory. Stick with it until you have manifestation. But there's some people sitting here tonight. You need to get desperate. You need to get desperate. And when you see it, you'll see it in your eyes. You'll see it in the way you act. It's a hunger. It's you hunger and thirst for God's will, God's plan. And it's going to come out. I mean, you can hear different people when they're praying. It's almost like a violent prayer. I mean, they're praying. They're just pressing in. Other people are just praying, well, you know, in Jesus' name. Don't want the devil to hear. But it's an attitude. She grabbed. She pressed through the crowd. She broke the law, Jewish law, broke through the crowd and touched Jesus. She grabbed onto the hem of his garment in faith. The biggest way for me to act on healing is to resist sickness at the first instance that I notice something. You know, you could talk about getting up out of bed and moving your finger and all the different ways to act. But the biggest way you can act on God's word is the minute you have an inkling of something to resist it. Take authority over it in the name of Jesus and stop it before anything can even happen. That's acting on God's word. Her faith made a demand on his healing power and it flowed into her instantly. Jesus perceived. I mean, this is power. This is anointing. Jesus perceived that someone had touched him in faith. It's like a light switch. When I hit that light switch, things happen. Power flows. That's what faith is. Faith is making a connection. Faith is turning on the switch so that the power of God can flow into you. That's what the process of faith is. You're tapping into the anointing. And you can learn to tap into healing as easy as to flip that switch on back there. Every one of us can learn and tap in and receive that quickly. There is a way to learn. He told her to go in peace, be whole in every area of her life because her faith. Did you catch that? Her faith. Her faith has healed her. If her faith can heal her, your faith can heal you. Is God playing favorites? Are you in Christ here tonight? The neat thing about it, not only can you have this personally in your life, but all of us here can be ministers of the healing power. That power, this is awesome, that power can flow through you and someone else can receive healing. Glory to God.